Hey there, Cornerstone teammates. This is Noreen, and I want to welcome you to our worship podcast, where we're studying the art and the heart of worship. We want to build you up, deepen your understanding, support you, and encourage you to get out there and do what God's called you to do. So let's get started.
They sang songs that I like. You know how I feel? The drummer wasn't too crazy. You know how I feel? There were no misspelled words. You know how I feel? No new songs, just songs that I knew, and the service got out early. And I'm feeling good. You know, too many people come to worship for gratification. The gratification is a feeling. It means to be made to feel good. And that's what most people are looking for. They just want to walk out of the service feeling good. Here are some synonyms for gratification. We have pleasure, enjoyment, thrill, kicks, satisfaction, indulgence, relief, appeasement. Now, worshiping God should be pleasurable. It should be satisfying, and it should be enjoyable. But the desire for those feelings shouldn't be the reason that we worship. You should come to worship to fulfill your obligation to God and to increase your faith in the process. And speaking about the Christian worship assembly, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, "Let all things be done for edification." Even though we come together to give worship to God, the worship that we give is designed by God, and it is designed to be edifying to us. This month's topic is edification. We sing and worship in order to learn about God's word. To be edified is to be strengthened in our faith. Singing has a unique way of focusing our hearts, minds, and even our senses entirely on the person and work of God. It creates repetition and strengthens our knowledge of God's word. Most people are going to remember and be able to recall the lyrics of a song much quicker and clearer than the points in a sermon. The truths of Scripture can be put into a song to be easily learned, recalled, and relied upon. To be edified means to be strengthened spiritually. Worship is designed by God to build up our faith, not to entertain us or to build up our emotions, but to build our faith. It's all about our faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." God's grace is what provides the opportunity to be saved, and our faith is what turns the opportunity into a reality. So what does it mean to lead worship for edification? It means to lead people into a collective awareness of the presence of Jesus and to sing or speak of him in such a way as to create awe, reverence, and love for him. In this way, our hearts will be open to learn from him, to be matured by him, and to be strengthened by him. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification." One of the greatest ways that a local church has the power to build up and strengthen itself is by assembling together to worship God. There are two reasons why we assemble. First is obvious and must be our primary focus, to worship God. We must come together in an effort that is not selfish, but to bring praise, honor, and devotion to our Lord. But while we are accomplishing this purpose, our second reason why we are assembling together is also accomplished. That is the strengthening and building up of one another. And I believe this is the point Paul is making in 1 Corinthians 14:26 when he says all things are to be done for edification. What we do needs to concentrate not only on our Lord, but needs to be done in such a way so that we are all strengthened and built up. We are being built up and strengthened when we sing songs together with words that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When we can sing songs about turning to our Savior, about our assurance of forgiveness of sins, and a home with God. Now, this does place a heavy weight upon all of us who participate in the services. It's not just a matter of leading a song simply because that's what we do. It is praise to God and needs to be done in a way that we as singers and techies are built up and the words that we are saying are building the congregation up. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Now, I know this sounds like it applies to Fred's message, and it does, but it also applies to us and the songs that we sing on any given Sunday. All of our songs should be based in and on Scripture. Not that they have to be Bible verses put to music, but the truth of our songs needs to be rooted in Scripture. One of the first things that I do, and I've shared this in the past, when I see what songs I'm going to sing, is I look for Scripture truth in them. And I have to admit, when we sang Honey in the Rock, I was not familiar with that verse, and I thought, oh, maybe it's kind of based on Moses and getting rock in the wilderness. But there was Psalm 81. It said, we're going to get honey from the rock. And I'm like, it's scripturally based, didn't know that. So why do I do this? And there's two reasons, actually. I never know who's in the congregation and what their relationship with Jesus is like. If they don't yet know him as Savior, I want to know that my part in the service was biblically accurate and truthful for them. That through the message of the song, someone that day could come to faith. I mean, wow, what an honor to be a part of that journey. Secondly, Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So when we lead the church in song, we are actually teaching them God's word. We are helping the word of Christ to dwell in them richly. Memorizing songs is the best way to press Scripture deep down into people's hearts. Most people won't remember the sermon after a few days, but they'll remember a song for the rest of their life. Think about almost any children's program, any vacation Bible school. You put a song to music, or you put words to a song in music, and it's going to be memorized, whether they know it or not. Music is used to teach and memorize different things. By singing biblically saturated songs, we're forming people's souls. We are helping them carry God's word with them, which in turn will carry them through their deepest, darkest valleys. We may not feel like it, but we are all actually Bible teachers. So that's all of edification on Sunday takes place. There's different reasons for it and different avenues that we can help it to take place. So throw it open to our panel and we'll discuss it. I'm Jeff, and I'm a vocalist and a wannabe guitarist.
I'm Ann, I'm a vocalist.
I'm Jesse, and I'm the slide guy.
I'm Jerry, and I'm the drummer.
One of the drummers.
I'm the best drummer.
It's true.
It's my birthday, and I
yeah.
It's okay, it's your birthday. You can be the drummer.
Yes.
I'm the drummer for today.
So let me kind of throw out to you guys, have you ever thought that as we come out in the congregation and we're thinking about the songs that we're singing, that we can play a part in one of them coming to know Christ that day? And I think that's true for all of us, and not just vocalists, but you know, if you think about each part that we're playing, whether it's tech or bass or drums or vocals, it's all playing together. It can be a distraction or it can lead someone to that. So just kind of throw that out there. Have you ever thought about that? And how does that sit with you thinking about that?
I don't think that I actively think about that on a Sunday. But in reflecting on what you were just saying, I think sometimes I'm not really feeling it. I don't know if you ever feel that way on a Sunday morning. Like you want to be present. You want to be there. You want to feel that your heart is in a place where you want to usher in the Holy Spirit and invite people to like be there and worship God with you. And sometimes you're not feeling it, but I don't want to say fake it till you make it, but posture of praise is a big thing. And it really allows you to get to a place where you do feel like, yes, I want to worship the Lord in this moment. Yes, I want to lead by example and be worshiping in front of these people so that they feel like they can worship freely and be in a space that they are comfortable to do that. So yeah, I think sometimes that does happen. Sometimes I'm not feeling the song that I'm leading or whatever, but God does something new in my heart in that moment because I'm allowing him to do that and like wanting to meet with him in that moment, even though I'm not really feeling it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think about the fact that God has welcomed us all in to partner with him in his work. And so all of us in anything we're doing are simply vessels. So whether we're doing tech, whether we're doing sound, whether we're singing on stage, we are opening ourselves up to God's work, to work through us and speak something to his people that we may never know that we're having an impact. And there's something beautiful to that, that there's nothing about it that is about me, right? I'm not the savior. I'm not the one that's doing the work. It's God through me. It's the Holy Spirit through me to his people, right? Using his words. And I love what you said, Jeff, with that teaching, because it's all anchored back to scripture in the fact that we're speaking truth. And so it's nothing that we're doing. And so we can lay down this idea of like, I have to perform, or I have to be doing the right thing with my hands, or singing perfectly, or moving, you know, side to side, swaying enough, or whatever it is, whatever you get hung up on, we can release that and just say, God's in control and his spirit is here and he's working and he's moving. And I'm simply saying yes to serving him. And if I have the gift of singing or running slides or doing sound, I'm simply being used by him to deliver his words to his people in whatever he wants to do with each individual person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not wanting to be a distraction. I feel like I often pray that before a service, like, we don't want to be a distraction. We don't want there to be distractions for people, but like want the Lord to be the focus.
Jerry, I'm curious about you on this.
Yeah.
You have a very different view of it.
I know for like, I'm gonna confess, for me, it's really, really tough. Like especially back there on drums, cause it's so like physically engrossing. Yeah. Like it's a whole body experience back there. So it's difficult to kind of like, not like compartmentalize, but, to have like God be present through all of that. I mean, there are times like specific songs that I can name of like The Blessing, where you look back there and it's like everything is just going like into the cymbals and all that. And I know like for the topic is like teaching the congregation, but for me, like during those songs, it's almost as like a reassurance for myself, like edification for me. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my experience.
Absolutely. Well, I think too, something that I just thought about with you saying that too, though, is like with, like we're talking about with text, right? Like the actual like words that we are saying are building people's souls. But you, it's like,
he knows it.
Like it could maybe be that it is in your physicality. Like, you know, like it's like, it's your physicality. Yeah. Like you are, as you're ramping and like, you know, your physicalness is like going into like, like your firm belief in it.
Yeah.
Well, I think again, for each of you, for all of us, we're also right in the midst of God's giftings. So when Jerry is banging the drums with all that he has because that's the way God has gifted him, there is assurance and blessing and edification that you have in that. And wherever we are, because we can't teach what we don't know. We need to be edified through the word so that we can do that as well.
And we don't know what's going to resonate with whoever's in the congregation, like who needs to see you going all in, Jerry, on the drums and like worshiping your heart out.
Yeah.
Like that could be something that triggers something in somebody's heart.
Very true. Are there any specific songs that you can think of that have kind of edified you and carried you through hard times or increased your faith?
Yeah, I saw you're ready to play.
I was going to say, I can name like 10. How He Loves is like a big one.
I was actually gonna say that one too.
Yeah, I love that song. I love that song. I mean, I already said like The Blessing. Also, it's the songs where like I could be like you know like physical, like we were talking about.
But I think the two songs that came to my mind were Amazing Grace, the rootedness of the idea of grace, that we are not owed anything. He pours his life out for us. There's something deeply liturgical and theological about that. And yet at the same time, I piped in when Jerry said, oh, how he loves, like, this kind of raw, like, pouring out of your soul, right? It just feels, it grabs you in your inner spirit. And there's something about Amazing Grace that tethers me like an anchor. And then there's something about how he loves that just feels like I'm pouring out all my anguish, mm-hmm. and that he's the only thing left to hang on to. And so I think those two, yeah, those, and there's many more songs. They're not coming to mind right now, but those parallels are just the beautiful, the anchorness and the rawness.
It's so funny that I also could not think of the names of songs that have like carried me through in specific moments. So I just literally looked up some lyrics that I remembered from one of them. Nothing I Hold On To by Will Reagan. yeah, it's just funny that those some songs like that are really important to you in those moments and like in those seasons of your life. And then you kind of forget about them because like your life changes and then there's something else that might resonate with you and be really important to you. Yeah.
I like ones that are really just kind of praise, just, you know, praise and then praise the Lord, you know, but just those where it's like, all right, it's just all you. But then I find it kind of to swing the other way where not where it becomes all about me, but where it's all about what he's done for me that I can do that. So it's almost circular in worship. And I've this is nothing about any kind of worship, but I think it's always very interesting that if we throw in a hymn at the end of a service, it feels like the volume of the congregation got jacked up. And I don't, you know, I wouldn't say that, well, this is a hymn singing congregation, but I think all of a sudden familiarity and truth hits and it's like, oh, I remember this song. This has kind of always been, and I love hearing the congregation sing back, you know? Yeah. And I can be surprised on whatever songs those are. It's like, didn't see that coming, you know?
There's something about the repetitive nature of liturgy or liturgical songs where you're repeating over and over because you're training yourself, you're training your soul, you're training your spirit in the truth of God, and you're singing it not just to yourself, you're singing it to God, obviously, but you're singing it to those around you. I think we leave that out often, that we are in church because it's a community of men and women desiring to be more like him. Mm-hmm. And we're there not just for the best sermon and the best worship in the congregation, we're there to support each other, to build each other up, to speak truth to each other. Mm-hmm. And so while the message is largely us receiving, and there's really no other option, worship is, better said, worship is really the whole service. So we even misterm that, right? Yeah. But the songs that we sing are participatory.
Yeah.
And so it's all of us doing it together. And so there's something about that liturgical side that I love, that when there's repeated phrases over and over, we're not just training ourselves. We're not just singing them to God and getting to a raw space where we really are thinking deeply about what we're saying, but we're singing it to our brothers and sisters who maybe need to hear it, maybe can't even speak the words because they're too broken and too hurt or stuck in sin or whatever place in life they're at. So there's a beauty to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amy's dad used to say that he would sing out like loud and proud because he wanted to encourage the people around him to also sing and like go there too.
It's interesting. As I'm thinking a lot of times, you know, you began the whole conversation saying there's just some times where I'm not feeling it. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to all of us to encourage us in being open with those that we're with as well. Because you can think about the times where, you know, maybe just a handful of people maybe know what any of us are going through at any time. And then if they're observing us singing again, lyrics have just escaped me. But, you know, any song where it's kind of like, I turned to you and you were there, you know, and all of a sudden for them to see that, I was like, I know what they're going through. And that just really impacts me. Flip it the other way around, where we're up there and we may not know what's going on, but God does. And he's like, and you're still bringing your praise and worship to me. And I'm going to allow my spirit to be the balm and to soothe your soul now. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be right in the middle of a song. And I enjoy it where I'm trying to think, I'm not calling out people, but several people that I have been up on the platform with will start singing something and then they can't sing it anymore.
Me?
I wasn't going to call literally out anyone.
I was going to say, does anyone else cry when they sing Trust in God? Because literally me, Jordan, and Amy, Amy, literally sob at the bridge of trusting God because we've seen God's faithfulness. So we've sought the Lord and he's heard and he's answered. Yes. Specifically now, announcement, I'm pregnant. And on the podcast.
Is that the big reveal?
Yeah, to the world. We're not going to post on social media. We're posting on the podcast. But like we've gone through a lot, like in our marriage, like dealing with loss of pregnancy and, you know, seeing God's faithfulness through that and like that redemption of like now I'm growing a baby in my body. And, you know, and seeing God do that. And then also like, you know, waiting for the Lord to do things throughout my life. That song resonates a lot with me. And if I think too hard about the bridge, it's over. And like the same for other people in different ways, like the people I mentioned before who also sob at that song. But so I think, I agree.
I think that is also a form of edification.
Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm.
For people to see it and go, this is something real and true to them.
It gives permission.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, like it gives permission. When you do that, it like releases it in other people.
It's vulnerability.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's embarrassing. It's not something I want to be doing, but it's like not something you can control. And like, I'm sure God uses that for his glory. And I hope that, you know, so yeah, I agree.
So you don't have on the lyrics, cry now.
Cry right here. This moment, stop singing.
Stop. Turn away.
But it shouldn't be embarrassing. Like there's
right.
As you guys are leading, especially you guys up on stage, to have that ability to go to a personal level with your worship means you're not just concentrating on the song that's being sung or the click track or whatever else you're thinking about. Am I in the right key? Or, you know, is Jerry drumming the right beat right, you know, in the back? You're thinking about what's most true to you about God, right? And that is impacting you deeply. And to allow others to see that only helps them to enter further into worship. I don't think it's distracting in the least. I think sometimes we can get hung up on, again, are my hands in the right place? Am I singing the right way? And we get hung up on that kind of performance side of things rather than tapping into ourselves, into the depth of the worship and the meaning that it has of pointing us to God and anchoring us in the truth that we're singing.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I just want to affirm that.
Thank you.
So you shouldn't feel embarrassed or
it's natural, right. But yeah, right. I agree with you. I understand.
Yeah.
I will admit it's a little contagious. People start crying on stage and then I'm like in the back, like rubbing my eye. Yeah. No.
I feel the same way about people in the congregation, like responding emotionally or like, I don't know. Like there's this one lady, I don't know her name. I've like been meaning to talk to her. And I just like see her worshiping and like, I don't know the word, but she's just like with her whole body worshiping and just fully in the moment. And it's such a sweet thing to see. And it makes me like want to worship more, if that makes sense. So I feel like there are worship leaders in the congregation. I feel like we don't really talk about that often, but like that's part of leading worship is leading by example, I guess, or just fully worshiping and being vulnerable and being yourself like in the congregation too.
So one little thing I want to throw out, it's going to be a little kind of a left turn here, or pivot. That's a good word. So in teaching and edifying others through scripture, and through music. It's a loud noise next door. We are actually Bible teachers. So I'm going to read James 3:1. James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So with James 3:1 saying that teachers are going to be judged more strictly because you need to, especially in the setting of a congregation and new believers, you better not be teaching hypocrisy. How does that apply to us in the worship team, wherever we are on the platform of the tech? How does that verse affect us in our call to be edifying the body in worship?
I have a lot to say today. I'm sorry. That was surprising. I told you you would.
Oh, goodness.
I always feel nervous speaking on the platform. I think it's for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is I never want to say something that is incorrect or not biblically accurate. And I don't feel like the expert in the room. And I'm always concerned. And so I choose to hold and like not say too much, or it makes me nervous to just go up there and say whatever. So I often memorize whatever I'm going to say or like double check everything. But I feel like that's something that concerns me. The second thing is that, well, of the many things, we had Touch the World missions training last week, and someone came up to me like after one of the sessions or like the last session, and said that they really appreciated that we explained before we sang the song Worthy of It All, we explained what the bridge meant and like read a few verses like explaining like biblically, like, you know, you're ushering in the Holy Spirit, but you're also like lifting up the prayers of God's people to the Lord. Yeah. Like the whole symbolism of incense being burned day and night. And so this person said, like, I never really knew what that meant. And like, I really appreciate that you did that because now I finally understand like where that comes from. And so that was a teaching moment that I didn't really expect. I was like, this is something that needs to be explained because it's a little out there and people might not know, but it doesn't feel like, wow, I'm teaching you the Bible. Right, do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm just the slide guy. So
it's really important.
I'm just following along. I don't get a mic back there. I don't get to like edit slides on the go and like put up, you know, a little encouragement from Jesse back doing the slides.
You could.
Laramie hasn't given me authority to do that. Or better said, Beck. Beck's really in charge back there. But yeah, I mean, in a generic sense, this is absolutely a truth, right? We are speaking into people's lives, like you said. We are teaching them what God's word is saying, and at the same time, we're teaching ourselves what God's word is saying. So I think we have to, you hold this verse in tension where, you know, you really have to look at it as a verse of either false teaching or hypocrisy, right? Are you teaching something that you're going against and walking out the doors on Sunday and you're blasting your whatever music that is completely opposite to what you were just worshiping? Mm-hmm. And you're not bathing yourself in worship the rest of the week, or even sometimes, not that secular music is bad, right? But you're not living a life of worship to God. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Right? Just like if Pastor Fred is preaching on Sunday and going out and saying completely opposite things and living in the world and doing whatever, we have to live a life that's consistently rooted in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be legalistic about that. So nobody's going to prescribe to you what that actually means in a detailed way, but we have guidance. We have guardrails. I like to think of it like a bowling alley. Like the guardrails are live a life of worship. Worshiping and pointing yourself towards God, right? And you can go anywhere in that bowling alley. Like you could go on the left side, the right side, as long as you're in bounds, mm-hmm. you're good to go. There's a lot of preference there, but are we being consistent? I think to me, that's the word that comes up, mm-hmm. right? Is there consistency in my life of witness that someone would look at me Monday through Sunday and say, okay, that same guy I met on Sunday is the same one I met on Tuesday on the street.
It is like a commitment. I don't know if that's the right word. To like living that kind of way. So that like when you're up there, you know, like for me, like if I'm up there playing the drums and I don't really believe like the song, like the words in the song, then what am I doing there? You know?
I love that point, Laramie, because in today's culture, one of the utmost values that we hold as a culture is you are entitled to your opinion. And I've dealt with this consistently. You're hitting the nail on the head for me and really hitting kind of a pain point too with being in leadership, having been an elder here at church. There have been times when I feel like I haven't been able to be my true self in a way that was almost good. And I'm gonna explain it in this way. Like you said, as leaders, we aren't always entitled to our own opinion is really what I'm getting at, because we're representatives of Christ. And while I might have my own opinion on politics, on different issues of poverty, on different issues of just humanity and how we treat each other, which are not maybe explicitly biblical, but they're sociological and they're political, et cetera, I've learned that that opinion does not hold precedence over biblical truth. And I need to elevate my community of brothers and sisters that I'm in community with, that God has placed me in for this time, right, over some of my preferences. And that's a hard thing to do when I believe wholeheartedly that something is right in the world and it should be done this way and people should think about it like this. But I can't superimpose that on everyone, because first and foremost, God calls me to love him and love others. And that's one of the hardest things I've ever done. But it demands me laying down some of my preferences.
Well, any closing thoughts, comments, burning ideas you just need to share?
As I was looking at kind of some of the notes prepping for this podcast, the quote from A.W. Tozer came to mind, and it says, "What comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us." And I just think that's so profound, right? What you think about when you think about God, the first thing that pops in your mind, what is it? Is it that you trust him? Is it that you question him? Is it that he offers you grace because you're a sinner? Whatever that is, that's the most important thing to you about him. Right. And that's profound, right? Because there's truth in that. And hopefully that understanding of who God is rooted in a deep truth, right? But all of us have that thing. Is it God's love? Is it God's grace? Is it God's forgiveness? There's something there that we can utilize that and let it pour out of us, like you were saying, Anne, spontaneously, even as we speak during the chorus, or, you know, at that pause, at that, you know, time where there's a Selah and we can speak some words of truth, to let that pour out of us from our own experience. And then if we get hung up on what the scripture is, just ask the slide guy to put it up back and it'll just appear. And you can speak the truth from the word.
That's good.
I'll look over to you. I'll call you out.
I got you.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Until next time, I leave you with the words of Psalm 63. "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you, in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands."